Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Do you have any other questions for me?
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You would indeed, but what I want to know is who was asking that question.
We have one of our celebrity guests in addition to the lovely people.
Because we never know who's dropping in.
It's right? Jack Nicholson this week.
Jack.
How you doing there, Jack?
How you doing?
I'm good.
And
I'm
Jack, we've got somebody in the studio that looks like he could be your son.
Really?
What do you want to discuss now?
Oh, well, we could for sure could talk about it if you like.
Really?
A little testy at this.
He is a little edgy. just hold off, Jack. We'll set up the other. We'll introduce these.
It's 94 degrees out there today.
It is hot.
It is.
It's hot.
Yes.
And
it's going to get hotter.
Yes. Is it really?
It's supposed to be. Supposed to get up to 105, 6, 7, 8 out here in the valley.
Why did we come out here for this? That's Arizona weather.
I know. Yeah. But it's you know, temporary.
But it's the dry heat, Michael. It's the dry
heat. That's what your mother says.
That's what my mother says. The dry. Like a friggin' convection oven. Dry.
Does it bother your dad?
Well, my dad, that was actually my dad's line. He moved to Arizona, and everyone's just like, oh, but it's a dry heat, it's a dry heat. He goes, yes, so is a convection oven.
Oh,
so
that he does it in his Italian
accent. In his Italian accent, yes. My father's old school Italian accent.
All right.
Which I'm not going to jump through hoops right now.
No, you're not. Let's thank
far more talented people here.
Let's thank our sponsors first.
Let's thank our sponsors. You want it? All right. So, I'll
ladies
it
and
off.
Gentlemen, I'll do
you
that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, why not?
You know what you're doing.
We'd like to.
I'm so drunk. I've been drinking since 10.
Again? We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
And we may very soon change that to BreakdownServices.com. There's been a big overhaul going on over there.
I think that would be a terrific idea.
Breakdown
actually.
Services with a lot of new services for actors.
Yeah.
But we will keep you posted on that front. We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. Throw some applause.
We love you, Mike Napoli.
Yes.
And as you know, Paul,
yes.
Today we have got another hot August show.
Hot August night.
Yeah.
Whose album was that?
Neil Diamond.
Yes. Hot August night.
No, hot show today with two of the stars of an all-new nightclub act titled Two Characters and the Gold Digger from Broadway and TV. Joe Giamalva and the gorgeous Susie Ewing are in the house today.
In
welcome,
the house.
Guys.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
And somewhere outside of our studio traveling today is James Gray, the third member of this triple threat, multi-talented troupe of dancers, singers, opening September 12th in this one-night-only special. But it's actually not a one-night. It's a one afternoon.
One day.
Because it's a 3 o'clock and an 8 o'clock.
Yes.
You see the way I tuck that in? I'm such a pro.
Oh,
at the legendary Casita del Campo's Cavern Club Celebrity Theater in the heart of Silver Lake, California.
And it's always a treat to eat at one of the great Mexican restaurants in Los Angeles. And it's simple. You just arrive a little bit earlier and have dinner upstairs. Then you go downstairs to the Celebrity Theater and see a fabulous show.
And I happen to know that nothing makes theater better than margaritas.
Do you? You've had that experience, have you?
Yes. They won't let me in the Amundsen anymore, but that's not the point.
Well, before we talk to our guest today, Paul, how was your week?
Oh, it was great. Michael's great. I have a lot of auditions coming up. I'm continuing to love the experience out there at the Will Geer Theatricum performing in August, Osage County, which is
kind of heading toward its closing at the end of the summer.
Winding down, yes. But houses have been great. The people have been loving it in addition to their other shows there. But I was an active theater goer this week, which I don't see as much theater as you do, just because I'm pretty much just racked with apathy.
And drunk.
The drunkenness and the apathy, just it makes it hard if you don't want to pay for cabs.
1960s Dean Martin.
Tiny bubbles.
So you went out to the theater.
Went
we're going
to
talk
the
about
and
that.
Found out. Do you talk about it now or wait till the middle? Or
whatever you like.
Talk about it now as I
all right,
hit
let's
my
do
microphone
that.
Here. I just really want to give tremendous praise to performances by people that turns out are mutual friends of
yes.
our in-studio guests
yes,
here. Because I went to see Always Patsy Cline.
The best.
And I was completely bowled over by it. It is not my wife. I'm the description of it is not really what would have been Monica's cup of tea. And she was a complete convert by the end of it. She goes, it's one of the best shows she's seen in L.A. Obviously, Corey Cable-Kidder and Nikki D'Amico both. It's a two-hander.
So good.
And they are just forces to be reckoned with. I knew from their interview that it was something special because they were here,
they were
a
here
week
two
before.
Weeks ago. Yeah.
And just that you could watch a show like this that has two people in it and never think in terms of there's only two performers on that stage because it's that. And there are more than two performers on
right.
stage. And that's why I'm sorry I didn't bring the program because I wanted to call out every musician up there. But well, for now, we'll thank Sean Paxton and his phenomenal work because those two ladies, yes, they have their work cut out for them. But with what that band gives them, it is.
I think it's five pieces, if
it's,
I'm not mistaken.
Right. That's just it. It's not. Not a two-person show. It's right. a seven-person show.
Right.
And they just burned it down. And a nicer little theater with a cute street with a bunch of dining options, as we always talk about, Michael. If you can find a place in L.A. where you can go early and eat, much like what our two guests today will be doing, if you could find that place, go eat, park, and enjoy a beautiful night out in theater. But I really loved it. That's a beautiful little community out there.
Very special. It makes you feel like you're totally away from Los Angeles.
Yeah, it really did. And we went to a lovely restaurant there across the street at your suggestion. The name escapes me now. But
it's called The Only Place in Town.
It's called The Only Place in Town.
That's exactly
which is
called.
Not true for that area because there's a lot of, including a killer ice cream place down the street. Homemade ice cream.
Did you go down and get some ice cream?
Yeah, I got some ice cream. My wife would divorce me for the right amount of ice cream.
Oh, really?
Yes, for whatever.
She does, anyway. She's so slim. And
she is. She's small but perfectly formed. That's the way I describe it. Small but perfectly formed.
What is it you always say about when you're out with your wife? What people say, they think that you're considerably older.
Yeah, they think that I'm her father, yeah.
And really?
Because my wife is only 3 years younger than me, but she still gets carded in restaurants because she looks so young.
Ooh, wow.
So they often, what did she do to me? There was the truck stop story. We were at a truck stop at Harris Ranch driving up to San Francisco, and I was making fun of her about something, and she said, "Mister, leave me alone. I'm only 16. Like, great. Truckers are going to be – I'm going to be picking up my teeth like chiclets by the time you explain to this trucker that you're kidding. Anyway, I've talked too much. Michael, how was your week?
You know what? Just busy starting work on a wonderful musical called The Addams Family.
Oh, yes.
Which is going to star Rachel York from Broadway and also Bronson Pinchot.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember Bronson Pinchot?
Yeah. From Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
Is Candy Milo involved?
Yes,
in that?
She is. She's playing the grandmother.
She is?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I thought
Bronson's
I saw
playing
something.
Gomez, and Rachel is playing, of course.
I thought I saw something on, as I call it, Libro de Faccia.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
well,
I thought I saw something.
As if Candy doesn't post
on
every 5 minutes.
Book of Face. Yes, I know.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's exciting, getting it up off the ground in a big event, a gala event down the road in November. And getting all the
and this is 3D
now.
Theatricals, right?
Yes.
Always good shows.
And also working on the opening of the September 12th opening opposite our guests, except it's a longer run, of Welcome to My World, which is Bruce Kimmel's new musical that he's written for Sammy Stateman.
Okay.
And,
so on the 12th, don't go to that just because you have to go to this.
Exactly.
See it subsequent evening.
Exactly. Because you do have that opportunity. And that's out at the Grove Theater in Burbank.
Oh, GTC, right?
Yeah.
Right off. Yeah.
That's it.
I performed there.
So, shall we get to
please do,
business
please
ahead?
Do.
Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, brings a diversity of experience to his career as a producer, director, choreographer, and teacher. He made his theatrical debut at age 4 and has since moved with ease between stage, theater, nightclubs, and movies. As a dancer, he toured the world with such stars as Raquel Welch, Tony Martin, and Sid Charisse, Donnie and Marie Osmond, and Cher, and is featured in the Janet Jackson music video, When I Think of You, Butte, which is like one of my favorites, right? On Broadway, he danced in The Happy Time with Robert Goulet and has toured the U.S. in over 25 big title musicals. Work in film includes New York, New York and Mr. Saturday Night. Television encompasses Land of the Lost and the TV classic H.R. Puffin Stuff.
Wow. He also starred in 120 episodes of TV's Welcome to Pooh Corner and another 120 episodes of Dumbo's Circus for the Disney Channel. He returned to the stage during 2012 in the hit musical The Beat Goes On at Hollywood's Arena Theater, followed by assignments such as Zoot Suit Riot, a dance show at San Bernardino's California Theater, and seen by millions of viewers around the world. The opening and closing of the 2014 Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena, California, and LA's Next Great Stage Star 2015. Please welcome Joe Giamalva.
Good night, everybody.
You'll be here all week.
Yeah, I'm much too young to have done all that.
And we're out of time. So,
exactly,
Joe,
so
it's
I.
great having you.
I got to go rehearse.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a pleasure. Really excited.
It's a pleasure having both of you on. Very, very excited.
Well, you've been busy bees, the two of you, putting a show together based on the history of your careers.
And it's happened really fast, Michael. Yeah. It's like someone had the – James had the idea.
James Gray.
And yes. James Gray, who we just completed doing the next – Senior Star Search competition. Thanks, Susie. and we met him, and we were talking about our paths and the shows we've all done. And James says, "Oh, let's do a show. I've got a theater." You know, just like that, I swear. And we have a 6-week rehearsal. We've put the show together, and it'll be here and gone before you know.
Did you find in creating it that your paths had crossed in your journeys?
Paul, it's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I've played Winnie the Pooh. James has played Winnie the Pooh in the park, and I've done it on television. And Susie and I, of course, have worked together a lot. And James and Susie have worked together. I mean, it's just so. That's what we're doing. We're just kind of meshing a nice little show together.
Now, when you have something like this, when you have three different careers and you're creating a piece of theater, who decides what the narrative is? Or is it like individual recollections woven together? Or like synopsis-wise, is it something you could share?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. It's both. Yeah.
Well, I think because James has the theater available there at Casita del Campo. He's done many shows there, and he knows how to put shows together, I think. He's really talented.
Knows the lay of the land.
Oh, mm-hmm. God, he's really, really, really
And that's
talented.
A very intimate space, so that's there. An art in itself, putting something there. Together.
I think there are only 70 seats, and we're doing two shows. So.
Right.
He was able to put it together pretty much for us. You know, we were all telling our stories, and we're all intertwining them together. And the exciting thing about another thing, talent that James has, is he has access to a lot of videos and still photos.
Oh, wow. So it's like a multimedia thing,
too. You know, when we started this, he asked Susie for some video. And I'm the type that I don't keep a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I always want to know what I'm going to be doing next. And so I did. But James went online, and he's pulled stuff that I can't believe that I haven't seen in 40 years.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. There's some Disney clips. There's some just a lot of shows that I've done.
And you didn't know that this stuff was out there at all? Do you?
I mean, I thought it was, but I wouldn't know how to
You should make sure you get that transferred to DVD.
We already have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, we've got some. What is it? 25mm tape.
Eight millimeter.
Oh wow!
Home movies.
Super 8s.
Yes.
You'll see in the show. And
you remember when that was a big thing? Yeah. Super 8s.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even remember it. I went to 25.
Well, and I remember my father talking about it too, because he bought one. It was like I think it was the first one on the block or something like that. It was a big deal.
But yeah.
Oh yeah. No. All of my our home movies and everything. It's all like it's weird because they've transferred them to video now, and it's not the same because you don't hear that clack 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 of the projector, because that was part of it, just that, you know,
part of the charm too.
I know exactly.
Yeah. You know, I gotta just tell you there, my partner from Kids of the Kingdom years ago, her father would come to the park with his little camera, and it's the 8mm, and there are three. We found three rolls in her garage.
Oh, wow.
And they'd just been sitting in a box, and we opened them up, and it looked like, you know, speaking of rats.
We were speaking of rats before we went on the air, just for the guests that are wondering.
Yeah. So, anyway, James says, oh, let's transfer these. And I thought, there's no way. These are so old. He had them done, and they're it's amazing. They're beautiful.
Wow. It's a wonder that they weren't subjected to the climate in the garage.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that they were out here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. But dry, you know, it's moisture that kills those things. Mm-hmm. So if it's a dry climate,
if it's the dry heat.
Thank you, Jack.
It's his mom.
No, it's just, that's amazing that all of that stuff. Now, how is I'm assuming that the multimedia video stuff just augments the live performance.
Yes,
that it's just
yes,
sort
it does.
Of little gravy on the meal of the show.
Yes. Okay. We do it.
So you're doing your song and dance, because that's what you do.
We're singing and dancing, and it's really a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun. I mean, I watch some of the stuff we're doing, and I can't believe I did that. I forgot I did that. I don't remember I did that. And then I see it, and I go, he wasn't bad.
He was cute.
Now, since you're building it together, was it sort of communally directed, or is there one person's vision?
Yeah, it was pretty much communal.
Collaborative.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
James would throw out something, and Susie and I would say, oh, that works, that doesn't work, or I don't really want to say that. And it just kind of has grown. It's grown like...
Right. Really.
But you'd never have to worry about, if you're truly collaborative people, which it seems like both of you are, like all of you are, you never have to worry about that aspect of things.
No. The three of us are really about the show.
Exactly. Three
just
heads,
the show.
Three heads are better than one if they're the right heads, and if the show is the thing, it's like I write comedy, and people say, well, yeah, but he's not using your joke. It's because his joke is funnier.
That's
funnier.
Exactly right. It's always, always about the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No egos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why Michael and I get along so well. Because Michael knows that I'm right.
Right. And you drink. At 10 a.m.
And he doesn't. So that's why we're such a perfect blend.
Yeah.
God, because he drinks, he doesn't know if I'm right or wrong anyway.
So. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. That's great.
Joe,
I was just going to say, so you've got all these wonderful video clips that you pulled together. And then are you choosing music for the show that you're dancing to or singing based on the videos or what?
Some of them we are and some of them we aren't. Obviously, we're three old friends. So, we're doing a number that's kind of related to that and... tells the story about us in the opening number. But then when we do our individual numbers, they are just pertaining to pretty much what we do. Mm-hmm. And then there's just some clever little stuff that James has written. I think people will really like to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not all three of you are on the stage all the time.
No.
There might be three once in a while, and then one and one.
Yeah. Yep. Susie comes out, tells a lot of stories, and I tell stories, and James tells stories, and we tell stories together.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And actually,
it's fun.
And actually, Michael, I don't know if you knew this, but I auditioned for this particular show.
You're kidding.
I did, and I was not allowed to be in it, which really surprised me.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Why not?
I had a conflict.
What is that?
I can't sing or dance. Look at the time. Every show, Michael. I will fit that in every show.
Susie and I thought you were probably too tall for this show.
Yes, we did.
It worked for me in
with
Mary Poppins.
Well, they with
made
those
me,
feet.
They made me Poseidon in Mary Poppins. Something they normally just buy the statue. They just put me in a body stocking.
Which in itself was something to see.
It really is.
Worth the price of admission.
Sort of like, look at the big-nosed squid. okay, the title, all right. And, of course, Susie will weigh in on this when we get to her shortly, but two characters and a gold digger.
And the gold digger.
And the gold digger. All right, two characters and the gold digger, sorry. can you let us know how you arrived at that?
Well, I'll tell you, James and I have both had careers in costume characters, and we've both worked many years for Disney at different times, different things. I did a lot of television for Disney, and James worked in the park and traveled in different characters, too. He was Pluto for years, at the park. And so we're the two characters. I was Mickey Mouse in Disney on Parade, the touring arena show, and he was Pluto. So we're the two characters. So half of the show is about all the costume character work that we did together. So we're the two characters.
Oh, I got you.
And before he goes on and talks about what Susie's part is, here's the synergy between Joe and I. While he was out there as a character with Disney on Parade, I was with another unit of Disney on Parade, but I was the publicist for that unit.
Okay.
And I took those characters, who were my characters, around and, you know, to the radio stations because the show would be coming into that market. So we were always traveling ahead of it. Our paths, we don't know really if they've ever crossed before. We think they probably have.
Right.
Because also...
But they could have, and you wouldn't have known because he would have been in costume.
Exactly. And also, when he did the Happy Time on Broadway, it was preceded by opening here in Los Angeles at the Amundsen Theater. It got its, you know, put up there, and then it headed to New York. And my very first job was at the Music Center, Music Center Operating Company, which it was called at that time instead of the Center Theater Group. And I was there in the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, and I was going over to see the Happy Time 4 or 5 times a week. Wow. I'd take my lunch hour and go over on the matinees and just to, you know, stand in the back of the theater and this guy is in that
probably
show.
Met
and Robert Goulet later became my client, as you well know.
And this is the
synchronicity.
This is the show.
Synchronicity of our show because, you know, here we are three people that, why didn't we ever work together at different times, you know?
Yeah.
Or you and I, we could do it out.
All sorts of overlap. And, you know, I tell you, this is one of those things, speaking about the characters and the work in costumes, it is the great unsung art because I'm a huge fan of the Commedia dell'arte, Italian comedy from the 15th century. And this is the last great holdout of that art form because it is mask work at the end of the day. You have a mask, your face is in one particular thing. It's all about physicality. It's all about expressing emotion, usually silently through gesture and all the other stuff. And it's incredible. People think, they just put the costumes on, they walk around and shake people's hands. It is not that at all. There's an amazing documentary out right now about Big Bird, the gentleman who created the character of Big Bird. And they talk about, you know, how intricate it is with the, in his case, with the video display.
Is that Jim Henson?
Jim Henson is not the creator of Big Bird, but Carol something. I don't remember the gentleman's last name. But he's about 6'5", and, you know, it's an astonishing documentary. I wish I could remember the name of it, but just search for it. But it's so difficult. And did you, I mean, obviously you enjoyed it for how long you did it, but it is it's a craft.
You know what? I really think that... I was born to be in a costume like that, you know. For some reason I was Mickey. When I got in the costume, I was Mickey.
Right.
I was Winnie the Pooh. You know, I was those characters.
On H.R. Puffin Stuff?
H.R. Puffin Stuff, Ludacris the Lion.
But on Puffin Stuff, what were you? What was
Ludacris the Lion.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, that was my character. And I
so loved that show.
I did a show called Sigmund and the Sea Monster. I was an octopus. I mean, Land of the Lost, I was an ape. but yeah, it's true. And what I wanted to point out is that with my company, Jacko Productions, I do costume character casting, and a lot of people will create a costume and they'll say, oh, we'll just put the secretary in it, or we'll just put in, you know, the runner, and then they'll call me 6 weeks later and say, we need a professional person inside the costume because they don't know what to do.
No, they don't. You know, and you can't, and people think you can't impart things unless you know how to do it physically.
It's a big job, and I'll tell you, you have to, inside of a costume, you have to exaggerate twice as much to make a big nothing laying there on the floor look like it's alive.
Yeah.
There's an art to it, I must say.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's mask work. And, you know, the next Christopher Guest movie, Christopher Guest, of course, with Waiting for Guffman and A Mighty Wind and all those wonderful ensemble improvisational comedies, is called Mascots. And it's his next one is about a competition for the greatest costumed mascot for the the National Furry Award. That's what it is. It's like, I can't wait. It's supposed to be. It's going to be on Netflix next year.
Oh, just saw it in Variety
a couple of days.
Yeah.
Super.
So,
great.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to Joe a little bit more. We have to do an arts calendar now, Michael, right?
Do you want to kick that off?
Yes. American Classics with Audra McDonald and American Ballet Theater will be presented at the Hollywood Bowl Tuesday, September 1st and Thursday, September 3rd, both at 8 p.m. The incomparable Audra McDonald sings classics from Broadway and the American Songbook. Gifted dancers from American Ballet Theater bring to life Bernstein's Fancy Free using Jerome Robbins' zestful 1944 choreography. Bramwell Tovey conducts the Los Angeles Philharmonic. The evening also includes such choice pieces as Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story Overture, selections from Rodgers and Hammerstein's State Fair, Lerner and Lane's On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, and Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady, along with songs from Henry Mancini and Johnny Mercer's Breakfast at Tiffany's, and so many more. For tickets and further information about this event and all of the events at the Hollywood Bowl this summer, visit HollywoodBowl.com or call 323-850-2000.
And even though we already discussed Patsy Cline, always Patsy Cline, earlier in the show, it occurred to me that I did not tell you all how you can get tickets for this amazing thing.
Yes.
If you can get tickets, because it's been sold out for an extended now through September 27th.
That's correct.
But in order to get some tickets, and I'm sure you can later in the run, 626-355-4318. That's 626-355-4318. Or, of course, online, Sierra Madre Playhouse.
Madre.
I'm trying to say it so they know how to spell it. Sierra Madre Playhouse. All I can think when I see that is badges. We don't need no stinking badges because that's from Treasure the Sierra Madre. That
one.
Treasure the Sierra Madre. Sierra Madre Playhouse.org. And once again, 626-355-4318. But you know what? While we're throwing this information out there, before we chat with Susie, let's let them know how they can get tickets for Two Characters and the Gold Digger as well.
Absolutely.
You have that handy?
I do. September 12th. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Cavern Club Celebrity Theater, located downstairs at the legendary Casita del Campo restaurant in Silver Lake, California. Lovely area. At the address is actually 1920 Hyperion Avenue in Los Angeles. Valet parking is available. Showtimes, as we said earlier, are at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. for this one-time-only event. So it's that important that you need to get your tickets. You might be left out in the cold if you don't. So for tickets...
70 seats and only two shows.
That's right. For tickets, visit Brown Paper Tickets at brownpapertickets.com or by calling Brown Paper Tickets at 800-838-3006, extension 1. Live customer service operators are available to assist you 24 hours a day.
And I will be outside actually dressed as Goofy and I'll be scalping tickets because that's what I do. That's my day job.
The Disney police will be all
over you. That's my day job,
you.
Michael. I scalp low numbers at the deli counter. That's what I do during the day. I got a five. Michael, would you please introduce this lovely woman to my right?
I'd be happy to. Yes, indeed. One of the highlights of our next guest's extensive career as a dancer, singer, and actress was the 5 years she spent performing on the Dean Martin Variety Show as one of Dean's original gold diggers. During that time, she performed with Frank Sinatra, Gene Kelly, Tony Bennett, Shirley Jones, Sammy Davis Jr., and Barbara Streisand, among others. She traveled the world for 3 consecutive years entertaining our troops with the Bob Hope USO Christmas Tour.
Recently, she has produced, directed, and choreographed for numerous productions throughout the Los Angeles area and continues to perform on select dates with the original Dean Martin Gold Diggers. As a choreographer, she has been associated with her longtime colleague choreographer, Joe Giamalva. Her most recent projects have included Zoot Suit Riot at San Bernardino's California Theater and the opening and closing of the 2014 Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena, California, and LA's Next Great Stage Star 2015 at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
How sweet of you to add that. Yes.
Please
indeed.
Welcome Susie Ewing.
Thank you.
Susie.
Hey. I'm so glad to be here.
You're sitting here so patiently. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been fun.
How are you?
Good.
So here's where we have to start our interview because we left off. Yeah. As Joe explained about the two characters, and then I interrupted.
We never got to the gold digger.
And so the gold digger.
And now we have the gold digger.
Yes.
The gold digger. So I think we said a little bit about that. We referenced it, of course, in her intro.
But right.
Tell us what that experience must have been like, to work with the great Dean Martin and then to also work with all of those other amazing guest
stars.
There's
just hundreds more, too, that, you know,
I'm sure.
The list goes on. Yeah. In 5 years, there was everyone in show business was on the show, you know. So it was wonderful. But, you know, before I say anything, I have to say, Joe and I go back so far. We met in college, and we've been dance partners since college.
Really?
And Joe was, he was the most important thing. He literally started my career because he pushed me into my first professional job at the Houston Music Theater. And from that is how I got to be a gold digger. And if I hadn't done that, I don't think I would have had that career.
And where did you go to school?
We went to a little school called Lon Morris Junior College in Jacksonville, Texas. But Tommy Toon went there, Sandy Duncan went there, Amanda McBroom went there. So it was quite a famous college.
No, but just I find it interesting that it wouldn't be, that it wasn't out here.
Texas, because we're both from Texas, Houston.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's how you got the gig for Gold
Digger.
That's
how I got to be a Gold Digger. Wow. We went to audition. We'd done a season there, and we went to audition. And I didn't get it. And the reason is because, do you remember Jonathan Lucas, the choreographer, famous choreographer?
Mm-hmm. I know the name, yeah.
He was directing and choreographing the show, Dean's show at the time, and the new Gold Digger show. So he hired me. He said, I didn't hire you for this. I'm hiring you for the, for the Gold Diggers.
Okay. So. And Joe, they didn't care for you as a gold digger?
No.
He didn't meet the criteria.
Too short.
We're the same height, but oh well.
I have to ask you a question. Somewhere I saw this or heard or read that all of you girls who were the gold diggers when you were on the series with Dean, you all stayed on the other side of the camera when he was on camera by himself.
No, we didn't all do that.
Oh, okay. It was some to try to crack him up,
That's exactly right. Sure. My dear friend Wanda Bailey, who is still my dear friend, who lives in San Luis Obispo, she and I were chosen to... As soon as Dean would start the show, he always started with an opening number. And a lot of times we would come down the elevator with him, if you remember that bit. But we would run after that and get underneath the camera. And we had a different little little trick up our sleeve each week to make him laugh. And, you know, because he did his opening number. But our producer did not want him to just do that. The whole point was, let's try to crack him up. Let's try to have him make a mistake. Well, wasn't hard to do. Because he was just that way. You know, he just was so fun.
You also, we discussed this when we met the first time, that you were saying that he's not, much like Gleason, not a big fan of rehearsal.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. No. He sure didn't like to rehearse.
And what about this? I mean, you know, he gave out that, you know, the character. I mean, that you assume that he drank quite a bit because that's what he did on the show, but wasn't.
It was
like
all
that.
An act on the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They touch on that. I said they did this made for HBO did a Rat Pack film a few years back, and they do actually show that. They show him pouring apple juice into a rocks tumbler and prepping for it, and just it's just a little.
That's true. It was just his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be hard to do a show, a television show like that.
I do it every week.
He's doing one right now.
Doing a great job, too.
Thank you. That's my olive.
Joe helped you get this job.
He did originally. Yes, he did.
And how long were you on air with the Dean Martin Show before you got your own series?
Well, actually, it was happening simultaneously because in those days, if you remember, it was summer replacement shows for the big shows. You kept your slot by having a summer replacement show. So it was Dean Martin Presents the Gold Diggers for our summer replacement. So we would do his show, then the summer shows would happen, and we would do our own show.
And you had your own guest stars?
Yes. All our own guest stars and everything.
Fantastic.
And I did that. So 5 years I did his show and our show and toured the world.
And you know, anybody listening to this program should get online and look at photos and footage of these women today, such as Susie. They're all as gorgeous as this
Thank
lady
you,
here.
Thank you, Michael.
She might be a little more gorgeous than the rest of you. I'm not sure. In my opinion, she is. Serious.
Thank you.
You're welcome. When you create stuff like this, the show that you're doing, the two characters in The Gold Digger, I'm curious about does the story or the recollection or the memory precipitate the song, or do you pick the song and then, you know, what? Which was a chicken and egg thing? Which
well, sometimes it does. Yes, okay. A couple of little segments. We just don't want to give away all of we, Joe?
Okay. No point.
But yes, it does. Yeah. I mean, it
it's
does.
A retrospective, basically.
It is. Yeah. It's literally a walk down memory lane for all three of us, and it's really fun how the stories intertwine, as Joe said, and all the film clips. I think the audience is just, I mean, after all, even if they had seen any of this, it's been 40 years. So it's going to look new to them. And a lot of people, trust me, have never seen some of the footage they're going to see.
Wow.
And it's also such it's an art form that they keep trying to, I know that Rosie O'Donnell is a huge fan of the variety show, and she tried to bring it back. And someone is going to do it. We haven't figured out who yet, but when you look at, and we need something to replace this. A lot of this competitive dreck that's out there, where it's just where the mean spirited. I'm not talking about the ones where they're encouraging. And Michael, your stage show is the perfect example of how to do it properly, which is through encouragement and all of that. But I would love to see the variety show come back.
Yeah,
and
it'd be nice.
I think that's one of the reasons that people are going to dig it so much.
I think so too. And one of the things I say all the time is the very reason that all of these competition shows, be it dancing or singing or whatever, the reason they're a hit is people don't realize it, but they're starving for variety shows. Mm-hmm. They just don't know it because these generations weren't there. They haven't seen it. Right. The older generation knows it because they miss it with the fabulous Carol Burnett. I mean, it just goes on and on, not just Dean, but all of the shows that were going on then. And that's why everyone loves this. Yeah. I agree with you, Paul, because it needs to be encouraging. It needs to be fun. It needs to be. So that's where the competition falls short.
Yeah, exactly.
And you
look at things like Saturday Night Live, where they have the skits that they do, and it's like, oh, they get a recurring character or a catchphrase or something, and they redo that. What's fascinating about these time periods, the Carol Burnett show, the Dean Martin show. I'm specifically thinking about Dean Martin and all of his stuff with the great Foster Brooks, the stuff that we did there. Uh-huh. These were every week.
That's right.
So you really came to love those characters. Right. You came to love the Mama's, not the Mama's Family characters, but what became Mama's Family, which is the Carol Burnett and Vicki Lawrence and of course, some of the great laughing outtakes of all time are from that. Breaking people up on camera. But I would love to see it come back.
I would too, personally. I just don't know, as we all get older and that kind of, population kind of dies off, we're coming into a younger set and it has to be people that they recognize.
But it's still, the thing is,
it would be,
I know.
It still exists fragmentally because it exists on Comedy Central. There are, like Key and Peele, there are comedy where they just do about 8 skits, per episode. And then the singing portion exists on other shows. It's like, why can't we just
put it together? Exactly. Well, then you were bringing up the point. People felt like they were in Dean's living room. They felt like they knew him. Every Thursday night, they tuned in because they knew him. And same with Carol Burnett. And everything.
And the same with Judy Garland.
Absolutely.
And the cream rose to the top, too, because there were not 700 channels like there are now.
Right.
Yes,
there were 13, maybe, if you got good reception and you wrapped your head in tinfoil and stood on a box with the rabbit ears.
Right. Yeah.
So it just everyone was really at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing I did in my career was I worked at CBS in PR for a while and used to run down to the Carol Burnett stage. Never missed a taping of hers.
Really?
Yeah. Rehearsals mostly I was seeing. I'd do it whenever I could. And I don't think you danced on that show, did you?
Which one?
Carol Burnett?
No, I didn't dance.
You didn't.
We have lots of friends that danced.
I was on Ed Sullivan, Sonny and Cher, and Captain Tennille, who we remember? Captain Tennille.
Nice.
I was on their show. Yeah.
Love will keep us together.
Donnie Marie show. Yeah. And I did a lot of TV.
Wasn't Stan Mason, wasn't he on Carol Burnett?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Stan and Randy.
Sandy Johnson.
Sandy Johnson. We know a lot of the dancers. If I could just make a point.
I thought you were going to say, if I could just make a phone call.
No. I could just call my agent if I had one.
Well, he's right here.
Oh, you're such a funny guy. Anyway, I think to say a thing about your point about, you know, the younger generation. I think it's our responsibility to teach them those things, to teach them about those people.
Yeah.
You know, I dance with Sid Charisse, and I teach dancing, and sometimes I'll say, you know, I dance with Sid Charisse, and they'll go, who?
Exactly.
And you want to just go, see, no one's telling our young people what happened, what we did. I think it's important that we do that.
I do too.
Well, for many, perhaps part of that education would be, you know, for somebody to put together in schools a series of movies that show those kinds of people.
You know, because it's not only the content, but it's also the style of filmmaking. And the great thing in a film study, I mean, you look at the way those musicals were made. It's unlike any other film. A Busby Berkeley musical is completely different.
That's right.
And being made the same time as, like, Maltese Falcon or earlier than that. But it's just an art form in and of itself. We are talking about two characters in The Gold Digger. This show will be going up for one afternoon and evening only. This is Saturday, September 12th at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at cavernclubtheater.com. Theater has the E-R spelling in this case, cavernclubtheater.com. And we'll throw that out there again before the end of the hour.
Thank you.
Susie, let me ask you something. You're a singer, you're a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer one over the other?
Oh, yes.
Which would you?
Well, you know the term. I'm a dancer that sings.
Right.
That's me.
Okay. That's both of us.
It's not my, I mean, my dear son, he's so sweet, but he tries, he goes, Mom, you really can sing, but, you know, it just has to be the right song. He's very kind.
And I have this song from The Miracle Worker that you're going to love.
Yes.
You know who her son is?
I do not.
Is Blake Ewing.
Yes, Blake MacIver Ewing.
Yes, from Full House.
Oh, I did not know that.
Was best friend of the Olsen twins.
That's right. And other things
that he wanted to do.
Is he involved in the Fuller House thing that's going on?
Well, we don't know. He hasn't heard yet, but he's hoping
that he will.
Because that's just been teased on the internet now, the idea of the Fuller House.
Yes,
going
another
back
series.
And
with that title, The Fuller House?
A Fuller House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there's a TV movie being shown very soon on Full House, about Full House.
I think this is a series.
Yeah. Yes, this is a series.
Actually, it's called A Full House, but it's about poker.
Oh.
Wow, that was a long walk for the store to be closed.
That's another drink.
Wow. Wait a minute, let me just...
There you go.
Where's Jack Nicholson when you need him?
Is Jack still around?
Hey.
Oh, yeah, he's still here.
He's still here.
So never, never interrupt me.
Funny. He's a little edgy.
He is. Susie, what have you not done in your career that you would like to do?
Oh,
good
dear.
Question.
That is a really good question. Well, Joe and I are always waiting for the next big thing to come our way.
Yes, and we're not done yet, right?
And we're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
We've had so much fun, actually, though, working together these past few years because we got back together teaching. And then and I was Joe's assistant on a lot of choreography jobs and things. And we work really well together.
Well, I hired them this year myself.
How wonderful must it be to go into that working climate and know that you don't have to worry about that whole aspect of
things. Exactly.
It allows so much more creativity and it makes a better work environment. That's really a treasured thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, and all kidding aside, Michael, I feel that way. We're working with you. We've known each other for years now.
True.
It's just we don't have to think about
that.
Yeah, that's right.
It shows. Great together. Mm-hmm. Great duet.
Well, we are, you know, and it's not just the matching suits.
Or shorts. And stop looking up my shorts.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
It's hot. What do you want from now? It's that time,
it
Michael.
It is. We have to baptize our guests.
Oh, dear.
Yes. We have to baptize them.
We ask you to share a tale of woe, a tale of a performance mishap. Hopefully funny. Hopefully where no one was too severely injured. So whoever has one to begin with, feel free to start. Joe, your eyes are...
Well, I have one, but...
Only one.
Yeah.
Out of all those years.
I know, there must be more.
We put them out of our mind.
I think the one that stands out for me is that I was doing Gentlemen Prefer Blondes in Dallas, Texas. The State Fair Musicals with Sandy Duncan.
Okay.
And I was dancing with Sandy Duncan, and I had a sailor suit on. And so anyway, when I was a young boy, not today, I was known for my split jumps.
Okay.
You know where I'm going, don't you?
I think so.
Yeah, you know where I'm going. Yeah. So and during a performance, I was dancing, and I jumped and did a split jump, and those sailor pants ripped from the crotch all the way down my leg.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, talk about... A dance belt.
On a clear day.
On a clear day. I got a standing ovation that night.
I bet.
Is that why you work all the time?
I never say no.
Oh, dear.
That's funny.
Now, I have a picture of it, actually.
You do?
Yes, I've seen that picture.
Yeah, you know that picture.
I've seen that picture.
Yeah, Susie knows that picture. I have a picture of that.
So it's like caught in midair?
The photographer shooting the show, caught in midair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. What are the odds that that would...
That's like similar, but I mean, your pants remained on you.
Yes, it was just a rip.
Your dance belt was exposed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Lenny Kravitz, is what he's saying. But it was similar to my thing.
Well, mine. No.
Yes.
My story is very similar.
Okay. That's why we work so much, right? Yeah,
you were backstage loosening the seams of pants.
That was it. No, we were actually in London doing our Dean Martin Presents the Gold Diggers in London. That was in 1970. And I was doing a sketch with the famous Marty Feldman.
Oh,
now, he was wonderful, but he was crazy. And I was dressed in this. The sketch was... We were in a Monte Carlo casino, and he was all dressed up in a tux, and I was dressed in a gown and furs and jewels and everything. And he kept betting, and he kept losing, so he kept taking things off of me to bet and lay on the table, on the roulette table. And they had told him, now, Marty, if you grab Susie's dress from the brooch in the front, it'll just break away, and she'll be in her little slip. And then the last thing is he put me on the table. But... He said, but don't grab it by the straps. Now, we have a full studio audience. And he kept going. We had to retake this over and over and over again. And he even pulled my eyelashes off. It was horrible. We retake, but it never got to the dress because there were so many mistakes. So we finally got to the dress. And sure enough, stripped to the waist in front of the full studio audience.
Oh, my.
I went screaming off, and I said, I'm not doing it again.
Wow.
So what did they end up airing?
And you thought...
Oh, well, they aired it the right way, but, you know...
And you think Marty Feldman's eyes were popping out before.
Yeah,
right. You know.
Well, they finally did. I finally went back for the pickup shots, and I, you know, did the last part where he set me on the table.
Such a pro.
But I didn't like it.
You want to see if Jack has anything to...
Yeah, he might.
Are you going to talk to me or not?
Oh. Yes.
We should talk to him.
Next week we'll
talk to him. Next week we'll talk to him. Michael, we got about 3 minutes where you can share your... your experience, similar to both.
Well, similar to on this subject matter. Bye Bye Birdie, very young, was doing it all over the country, out here, Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, theater in the round, so it did, you know, several thousand people in that theater. And the big Joe, I'm sure, knows this show, both of you probably do, or if you've been in it, but the changeover at the beginning coming from New York to Sweet Apple as a teenager, you know, so it's underdressing from your New York clothes to your Sweet Apple clothes, and it was all done in a strobe very quickly in the orchestras, you know, vamping and playing on, and the lights, you know, will eventually come up, and we're waving American flags, and we're in Sweet Apple, Ohio, as the train is arriving, and all of that. So everything was going along well until the transition and the strobe light started, and my clothes were being peeled off by, they had dressers come up on the stage in the round, right, to help. And mine came off, and I got my flag, you know, you hand them the flag, and I started just reacting in the dark in the strobe, and when the lights came up, I was standing there in only dance belt and my red sweater and little white collared shirt, waving the American flag, with my ass exposed to half the theater because I forgot to underdress.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think it's just the whole image there.
I can see that.
What makes that what makes that whole story is the waving of the flag.
Yes, exactly.
I think that really is the one sort of sells it.
And they were all like a, like in unison, screams from the audience, you know, when the lights came up and saw that.
Sweet apples!
Well, you know what they say.
What?
And give up show business.
And give up show business. Speaking of show business, let's remind them how they can, how folks can attend a show. This is, we've been talking to these two lovely people about two characters and the gold digger. We only have one of the characters here today. They're the other gentleman will obviously be there.
James Gray, and we know you're out there.
Yes. This is September 12th at the Cavern Club Celebrity Theater, located downstairs, legendary Casito del Campo restaurant in Silver Lake, California. That's 1920 Hyperion Avenue in L.A. Valet parking is available. Showtimes, 3 and 8 for this one-time-only event. For tickets, Brown Paper Tickets at brownpapertickets.com, or you can call them 800-838-3006, extension 1. Customer service available 24 hours a day. What a pleasure this has been.
Thank you
absolutely.
So much.
So much fun.
We loved it. And
there's like another show in this. We could have gone on. I have so many questions.
We could have done a whole other hour.
We'll be all back on the 13th.
There you go. Okay. Let's do a recap. Yeah. Okay. A pleasure.
Always a pleasure. With you, Paul.
Yes.
Thank you.
See you next week
on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.